chapter 7. Just one verse there, one verse in John 7, verse 23. Verse 23, the Lord is, in this verse, recapping an event that took place in John 5 with the healing of the lame man, the impotent man, the paralyzed man. But the Lord is having to defend that action. That's kind of odd. He's been criticized. He's been receiving anger aimed at him, and so on. But that doesn't change what happened to that man. And we thank God the Lord brings a powerful change. John 7 and 23, if a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me? Because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. There were those who were very protective of the law and the necessity of keeping the Sabbath day holy. And the Lord did not break that, did not he did not infringe upon the aspects of the law that would prohibit. Because he points out, and as I share the message with you today, he points out several times that you do this on the Sabbath, you do that on the Sabbath. Shouldn't it be something allowed that they be healed, that they be delivered, and so on? God help us to stay focused on what the Lord wants to do and be blessed as we step out of the box, so to speak, and let the Lord do his work. Amen. And receive the blessing that he has for us. So you probably picked out by now the phrase that I want to emphasize from this verse. Every whit whole. The old English manner of saying completely, entirely, without fail. Praise God. That's the kind of work our God does. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Now, if we go back to John 5 and read the event that happened at the Pool of Bethesda, we know that there was a group of people who waited for the troubling of the water. There's not a great deal of explanation as to why this happened or what was taking place here. The only explanation I can give is they had faith. And they gathered at that place to believe that God was going to do a work. And because of that faith, there was an individual every year or every season who was healed. But it was a focus of misery. People who were there were paralyzed. They were crippled. They were blind. They were halt. And the description of the pool area was had five porches. Now, if it was porches in the way that Brother David would build them, there would be like tiers and layers or levels of those porches. And there would be places for people to sit or people to wait. Or if it was a covering, maybe it was a colonnade holding up a roof above the people so that they could escape the elements a little bit, the heat of the sun or pouring rains. We don't know. But we know that there were people gathered in that place who were waiting. And this man who was healed, and Jesus made reference to him, a man made every whit whole, he wasn't there for exercise in that pool. He wasn't there to spend leisure time. He wasn't working on his suntan. There wasn't anything positive or happy about his setting. For 38 years, he had an infirmity. 38 years, his mobility decreased more and more. He wasn't able to walk, and we don't know if that happened immediately due to an accident, due to an inflammation in his spinal cord, or we don't know. We don't know if it was something that gradually happened, but for 38 years he was afflicted with this infirmity. And there he was among that company of misery. We know the saying, misery loves company, but this was overdoing it. However, they had faith. And whoever got to the water first was made whole. That's the first mention of the word whole. Made whole or well of whatsoever disease they were afflicted with. It was an amazing thing. Jesus observed that gathering. He saw the misery. He saw the sorrow, the pain, the grief, the hopelessness. He walked up to this particular man, and he asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now, that seems to be a question that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Obviously, that would be his desire. That would be what he would want. "Wilt thou be made whole?" But the man went into an explanation. Instead of saying, "Yes, yes, I definitely would." Evidently, he didn't know who was talking to him. He didn't recognize that Jesus was the miracle worker, that Jesus is the healer, that Jesus is God Almighty. He didn't recognize that. And so instead he explained, or maybe it was more of a complaint, "I don't have anyone to help me get into the water." This is the second time that the word whole is used in this story. It's used four more times, six times altogether, and then our text would be the seventh time that whole is made reference to this particular miracle that took place. Why the repetition? Why the repeating? Because I believe the scriptural record is trying to show us that's the kind of work our God does. That's how he's able to bring about the results. That's how he can make changes so complete, so entirely. Praise God. And we can put our trust in the Lord. So the man with his answer, "I don't have anyone," Jesus simply said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? Not a whole lot of explanation. Not a great deal of scriptural background or any kind of aspect there to explain the spiritual power that was at work. Verse 9 simply tells us, "Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." And that's why the Lord would make that connection or that explanation. But think about it. The first time he walked in 38 years, the first time he would take steps if his paralysis was immediate, the first time he was able to stand upright, cured, but then criticized. That always amazes me. Why wasn't there a celebration? Surely, Pharisee, Sadducee, Herodian, whoever, surely they would recognize, this man has been in this condition for 38 years. How is it that he's up walking? How is it that he's carrying his bed? How is it that he has stability and he has balance and all of this stuff that after 38 years would seem he would need to know how to walk again? He would need to learn how to hold his balance. He would be necessary for him to build up his muscles and his strength. How is it that he is walking? But that wasn't what they celebrated. "Why are you carrying your bed?" "This is the Sabbath." But the man declared, "He that made me whole," there's the emphasis again, "the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." And to his credit, he obeyed the Lord. To his credit, he did, after immediately receiving his healing, he gathered up his bed, whatever it was, a quilt, a pad, we don't know, but obviously something that was portable, and he gathered it up and started walking, perhaps to his home, maybe to some friends, maybe to go get something to eat, I don't know. If there was rice available, I'd be right there with him. But oh my, how powerful the Lord was to display his goodness. Amen. Healed, but he couldn't identify Jesus. They said, who healed you? Who did this work? And then Jesus saw him in the temple a little bit later. The first time he could go to the temple. The first time he could make his way to that place of worship. The first time in 38 years that he was able to step forth in that way. Almost four decades. Incredible. And Jesus said to him, I'm glad Jesus always has more to say. I'm glad Jesus always has more to do. Jesus has always more to give. Amen. Behold, thou art made whole, he told him. Amen. And maybe the man would look at himself. Maybe he'd flex his legs a little bit. Maybe he'd just grin, a great big grin, and be thankful for what the Lord had done to him. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The Lord has more to say. The Lord has more to give. Amen. And he's not trying to detract from us. He's trying to add from us. There are a lot of people that don't want to subtract sin. They want to add the blessings of the Lord. They want to add the goodness of God. They want to add all that the Lord has for us. But let me keep on doing what I want to do. What my flesh is guiding me to do. What people tell me I need to be involved in. Oh, no. Subtract and then add. Praise God. Sin no more. Oh, thank God. That's not just a straightforward command for us to fulfill. God gives us the ability. God gives us the power. God makes us overcomers. The Lord tells us we are more than conquerors. Praise God. It's not something that we're a slave to anymore. We've been made free from sin, and now we're servants of righteousness to walk in the power and the blessing of the Lord and to serve him with our whole heart and to let nothing pull us back to bring us short of what God would have us to do. So now the man knows who it is. It's Jesus. And he goes to tell the Jews it was Jesus who made him whole. Well, this was on the Sabbath, so they prosecuted Jesus, and they even sought to slay him. There was thinking already. We got to get rid of him. He's a troublemaker. He's going against the law of Moses. And then in our text, Jesus said he made the man every whit whole on the Sabbath, and they were angry with him. Every whit whole means, again, it means entirely. It means completely. It means perfectly. And again, I about wear a bare spot on my head trying to figure out, why wasn't there a celebration? Why wasn't there great acclaim made of Jesus that he's the healer, he's the miracle worker, he's the way maker, he's the peace speaker, he's all of these things. And look what he has done to a man who was paralyzed for 38 years. Well, I'm thankful that's not the only example we have in the scripture. I'm thankful there's many, many more. Since Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, he healed other people besides that man at the pool on the Sabbath. In Mark 3, the story is told of the man with the withered hand. He's in the synagogue. And again, we don't know what caused the crippling action in his hand. We don't know if he was born that way with that disability. We don't know if an accident on the job caused the loss of his arm movement. We don't know the details. We just know he's there in the synagogue with his hand shriveled up. And perhaps trying to be obscure, not wanting to draw attention to himself. He knew he was different, but he wanted to be in the house of the Lord. He wanted to worship. He wanted to exalt the Lord. And Jesus told him, stand forth. And then he told him, stretch forth. Well, that was impossible. He could stand, but he couldn't. His hand was withered. It was drawn up. It was close to his body, and his wrist was twisted. His fingers were curled. He couldn't do that thing. But the Lord said, stretch forth. Praise God. Sometimes the Lord expects us to step out in faith. The Lord just expects us to obey his word. And it may not seem possible. It may not seem logical. It may not seem sensible. But there's got to be a faith that grabs a hold of our hearts and our minds and says, do what he says. Follow his word. Obey him, and you will see great things happen. Praise God. So when he tried to obey the Lord, and he tried to move that arm that was withered and shrunken against his body, it was restored whole. Praise God. Amen. And guess what? It was on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus asked the Pharisees, is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it? And obviously they had to agree it was the time to do good. It was a time to save life. Matthew reports on the same instance that the Lord asked them about or told them about rescuing a sheep from a pit on the Sabbath. You do that. If one of your sheep falls in a pit on the Sabbath day, you go and rescue that sheep. How much better then is a man over a sheep? Oh, thank God. The Lord considers you better. Better than a bird, better than a sheep, better than anything. And he'll do a work in your life. He'll answer your prayer. He'll minister to your need. Praise God. And the man stretched forth his hand. I guarantee you, when Peter was sinking in the waves, when Peter was watching the wind and the waves and he was going down, he was glad the Lord stretched forth his hand. Amen. Oh, I'm glad the Lord stretched forth his hand for me. I'm glad the Lord didn't leave me where he found me. I'm glad he lifted me up out of the storm. I'm glad he lifted me up out of the water. I'm glad he lifted me up into his presence and his power. Amen. He didn't leave me sinking. Praise God. But he stretched forth his hand. Now let me share a few more instances from the word of the Lord where people were made whole. The woman with a bowed back for 18 years, her condition continued to get worse and worse. But yet, when the Lord encountered her, she was loosed from her infirmity. Immediately, she was made straight. She was able to stand upright. She wasn't bowed over again. And of course, there were those who criticized because it was done on the Sabbath. But Jesus condemned the hypocrisy of his critics. They would loose an ox for watering on the Sabbath. And he said, shouldn't a daughter of Abraham be loosed from her bond or from her infirmity? Oh, I'm glad Jesus can do that kind of work. I'm thankful Jesus can magnify his power and his blessing to do a work to make us whole. Amen. Now, let me bore you with some more instances of those who were made whole. Those three happened on the Sabbath, but these just, the Lord made them whole. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years with this infirmity, 12 years of spending all that she had, going from doctor to doctor, seeking cure after cure. Nothing was made available to her that had an answer, and yet her money was being spent and not being replenished. But Jesus, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, in Mark 5 and 34, I like the way he says it twice. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. The Lord was assuring her, it's happening. It's taking place. You're not going to be the same. You're not going to have this affliction. You're not going to have this problem. It's not going to continue. It's over. It's done. It's changed from now on. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Our God does a work. Amen. The centurion's servant. And how the centurion said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this man, you go. I say to another, you come. He understood the actions of authority. He was in the Roman army. He knew all about authority and power and so on. And he told the Lord, just say the word. Just declare it. Just say it, and it's going to happen. Jesus marveled at that centurion's faith. And then the sick servant was made whole. Long distance. Praise God. The Lord didn't even have to go. The Lord didn't even have to walk through the door. The Lord didn't even have to lay hands on him or speak a word. Just said, your servant's whole. Praise God. Amen. I can't imagine the torture that this poor woman went through with her daughter. I can't imagine the concern, the worry, the confusion of how demonic influence would be upon her daughter, and she couldn't do anything about it. She sought, she tried different cures, different ideas. She was not a Hebrew. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a Greek. But she came asking the Lord to deliver her daughter and kept asking. Praise God. I'm glad it's open to everybody. The centurion was Roman. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. I'm thankful the Lord opens it up to everybody. I'm thankful we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We can go to the throne right here, right now, and believe the Lord to do a work, hallelujah, of healing and power and of making whole. She asked the Lord, deliver my daughter. She kept on asking the Lord, deliver my daughter. Jesus told her, oh woman, great is thy faith. Thank God that there's great faith right here today. Thank God that there's great faith that the Lord would come and compliment you for believing the Lord and trusting Him and knowing that His power can work. He told her, your daughter is made whole. And she discovered that from that very hour that the Lord spoke it, it happened. Praise God. The blind man was there on the side of the road. He heard the ruckus. He heard the crowd. He heard the multitude going by. He asked, what's going on? Jesus is going by. Bartimaeus began to cry out for mercy. He cried out for mercy. He didn't ask for anything specific in terms of his eyesight, in terms of clothing, in terms of food or shelter or any of those things. Lo, thou son of David, have mercy. I'm glad our God is a God of mercy. I'm glad our God knows how to apply His mercy to our circumstances, whether they be physical or spiritual or emotional. Thank God His mercy is there to minister to whatever the need is. The power of God is there to provide. Jesus called for him, and he cast away his garment. He rose, and he came to Jesus. Can you imagine that blind man trying to feel his way, trying to find his way to the voice that called him? A voice that sounded like mercy, a voice that sounded like compassion, a voice that sounded like power and healing. Hallelujah. He asked to receive his sight, and Jesus declared to him at that moment, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Hallelujah. I always wonder, when people encountered the healing and people saw the man who was healed, people saw the man who was restored with sight, people heard the woman give her testimony. You remember how I was bowed over? For 18 years that happened. It got worse and worse, but he spoke the word. He loosed me from my infirmity, and I stood upright, and you see me now. Praise God. Or the woman afflicted for 12 years. What was their testimony like? How powerfully was it received? What interest did it bring? What attention was brought to them as they lifted up the name of Jesus? Oh, that's what you can do. You can lift up the name of Jesus. You can testify. You can let others know how great and how powerful the Lord is. Praise God. And then we come to the 10th leper. 10 lepers. Another company of misery. Another group who had no hope. Another group who leaned on one another. And that's all the fellowship they had. They couldn't go home to their families. They couldn't go to their workplace. They couldn't go and get a bite to eat. They couldn't do any of those things. No, all they could do was cry out, unclean, unclean. They couldn't even get near to the pool because people would holler out, unclean. There was no hope for them. But they lifted their voices. Their voices were strong, even if their bodies were weak. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's what they hollered out. And they didn't stop hollering. But the Lord told them, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the only reason you would go to the priest to have a report on cleansing is if you were healed, is if you were cleansed. But they looked at one another, and the evidence of the disease was still there in great abundance. But as they went, the Bible says, as they obeyed, as they stepped out in faith, as they believed what was told them by the one who could bring about the healing, they were cleansed. Praise God. Oh, I can't imagine the joy. Oh, the excitement. Oh, the thrill. Oh, the anticipation of going to their family's home and showing that they're healed, that they don't have the sores, that they don't have the missing fingers and all of those aspects of leprosy. How thrilled they must have been. But one turned around and went back. He fell on his face. He glorified God. He gave Jesus thanks. Praise God. And then Jesus had more. Oh, he always has more. Praise God. Jesus told him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Praise God. Now, let's define whole. Let's just look at what it says. And from our practical observation here of what these individuals who were made whole went through. What does it mean? Well, we can understand it means healing. It means deliverance. It means being set free. It means a blessing. A blessing that's so great that it brought incredible changes to them. Praise God. We look to the dictionary. What does the dictionary say about being whole? It means being healed. It means free or recovered from a wound or an injury. It means physically, mentally, emotionally sound and healthy. Sounds like what our God can do. Sounds like everything that He can bring about. Sounds like what we've experienced and what we know is real and how we know the Lord can touch and provide. Praise God. And then I like this definition from the dictionary. Having all its proper parts or components complete. Everything. Praise God. Amen. So we look at the Greek. What does the Greek say about whole? It means healthy. It means well. It means sound. And then I like this part, because this part's real important. In doctrine, it means true, whole, the whole truth. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord, because you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I know the modern translations say, set you free. And I'm not splitting hairs here now about make or set. I just like the way it says make, because that's what our Creator does. I like the way it says make, because that's the miracle that our God can work. Hallelujah. Because of truth. Because of doctrine being true. Now let me point out, there were men strong in Moses' law that needed to be true in doctrine. I'll just focus on two of them here for a moment. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night. Being a ruler of the Jews means that he was knowledgeable about Moses' law. He was knowledgeable in the scriptures. And he understood and recognized the power of the Lord. We might wonder, why did he come at night? Was he trying to be incognito? Was he not wanting to be recognized? Not wanting to be associated with Jesus and his disciples? Or did he perhaps feel like, well, at night he may be more accessible? I may have more of an opportunity to have a conversation with him. I want to talk to him. I want to ask him some questions. Fewer people around at night, so I'll go. He greeted the Lord with a recognition of his power. He called Jesus a teacher from God. He said, no man can do the miracles except God be with him. Full of compliments, full of recognition, full of an understanding of who Jesus is. But Jesus recognized, it's nighttime. I don't have much time. I need to tell him what he needs to know. You must be born again. no pleasant exchange of how's the weather and what are the crops doing today, and boy, it's sure turning green around here real quick. No, just passing the time. You must be born again. Nicodemus, in his confusion, how can a man be born again? How can that happen? How can that take place? But Jesus went right on to say, you can't see the kingdom of God, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Whoa. That's pretty straightforward, pretty clear. He said, the wind blows where it lists, where it wants to. You hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's going. You can't tell where it came from. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone can be born of the Spirit. Everyone can be born of the water. Thank God for the power of the name of Jesus Christ to remit our sins in the waters of baptism. Thank God that everyone can make the sound as they receive the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And the power of the Lord coming forth. You know, to Nicodemus' credit, he helped Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. After Joseph went to Pilate and begged for the body of the Lord. And Pilate gave him permission to take the body of Jesus for burial. And maybe Nicodemus, as well as Joseph, was in the upper room with 120 Jesus' brothers, Jesus' mother. Praise God, the disciples. Maybe he was up there among that 120 that received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Praise God. And that's what John the Baptist said was going to happen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Because that's exciting. Because that's powerful. Because that's wonderful. Hallelujah. If he wasn't in the upper room, maybe he was among the 3,000. 3,000 that were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that day and were added to the church as they received the Holy Ghost. Being born of the water and born of the Spirit. Praise God. The Lord fulfilled it. Because being whole means being true in doctrine. Saul of Tarsus. What a rascal. Studied with Gamaliel. Knew all about the law. Told of himself being a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Brother Mitch. Amen. A Pharisee. Touching the law. Blameless. Quite a resume. Quite a background. He understood all about these things. Why didn't he listen when Gamaliel, his teacher, said, if this work is of God, you're not going to overthrow it. If it's of man, it's going to come to nothing anyway. Just leave it alone. But if it's of God, don't touch it. Don't mess with it. You're not going to be able to change it. But Saul of Tarsus thought, I'll change it. I'll make a difference. And he wreaked havoc. He breathed out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He tried to overthrow the church. But as he was on his way to Damascus, he was knocked down by a bright light. And Jesus spoke to him in that moment. And Saul repented right there. What wilt thou have me to do? That's what repentance is a change. It's a difference. Praise God. It's going one direction and turning and going the other direction. Thank God the Lord knows how to bring that kind of change to individuals. And so Saul goes from Damascus Road to Straight Street. And he's born again. He's baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and he receives the Holy Ghost. By his own testimony, he tells us those things. Praise God. Paul wanted others to be whole. He had a desire to see others made whole. He talked about being whole. He wrote about it in the letters, Ephesians 3 and 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now, that's numerically. That's a group. That's the church. the whole family in heaven and earth is named. By what name? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We make our petitions, our prayers in his name. We cast out devils in his name. We pray for the sick in his name. Go ahead and obey the word of God and be baptized in his name. Praise God, because that's the way the scripture shows it. That's the examples in the book of Acts. That's what we follow. Amen. And so twice Paul wrote to the Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. Twice he mentions it in his letter. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13 of that same chapter, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Praise God. I'm thankful the power of the Lord helps us to stand. I'm thankful the power of the Lord keeps us from the evil one. I'm thankful the power of the Lord makes us overcomers to do the work of God and to see the hand of God displayed. Oh, Paul wanted others to be made whole. He wanted them to be complete in Jesus. That's why in Acts 19, he encounters some followers of John the Baptist, 12 men in Ephesus, that he asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Haven't heard about it. Well, since the new birth is born of the water and born of the Spirit, and they hadn't been born of the Spirit, he decided, I better check out how they were born of the water. How were you baptized? We were baptized John's baptism. John baptized a baptism of repentance. And then he taught us to believe on him that was to come after him. And when they heard that, guess what? They were baptized again in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul laid his hands on them. They started talking in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad God fulfills his word. I'm glad God can do it in a second. God can perform his work immediately. God can do what we believe and trust him for immediately, because he wants you to be complete. Colossians 2 and 10, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, that whole armor chapter in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power. But Jesus is already head of principality and power. Praise God. He's the ruler. He's the king. He's the victor. He's the conqueror. And Colossians 2 and 15 says he spoiled principality and power. He made a show of them openly. He was triumphant over those powers and principalities. And that's why he said to his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And that overcoming power is what he implies and imparts to us as well. Because in the Greek, to be complete means to fill up, to make full. Other definitions I know, but I like that one, to fill up. God wants to fill us up. God wants to make us full. Hallelujah. Of his Spirit, obviously, of his love. And to have faith continue to grow within our hearts, to be complete in Jesus, to have everything that you need in this life and ready for the next. Praise God. The dictionary says complete is having all the necessary parts, all the elements, all the steps, and lack nothing. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. That's how the Lord moves us into his realm, into his power. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 23 of his first letter. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. To sanctify means to make holy, to purify. To be sanctified wholly and made absolutely perfect is what God wants to do. Your whole spirit, soul, body, everything about you, everything that makes you, you can be preserved blameless as we look for the coming of the Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful that's the possibility that the Lord makes for us. Please stand with me now.